So tonight, we're looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and I have called this Living Life, because that's basically what it talks about. I've had a kind of hard week this week. I don't know, I just felt like that I was off, and a lot of it, of course, has gone around the fact of preparing for Larry's memorial service, which was the first memorial service I've ever done. And I've often told people that Adrian Rogers, when I went to talk to him when I was very young, 18 years old, I said, I think the Lord has called me into the ministry, and I want you to talk me out of it. And he said, well, why talk you out of it? And I said, well, there are good things, such as marrying people and baptizing. I said, but then there are other things that are not so good. So you have to go and visit people who are dying, and then you have to do their services and all. And he laughed. And he said, if you ever do the memorial service for a real saint of God, you'll see what a wonderful, joyous occasion it is. And I did. But going through the week, it was like, you know, just this is a memorial service. And I've never done this before, and I don't want to screw it up. And I don't want to make people sad or anything. And then this morning, I had managed not to do my sermon. Not Friday when I usually do it, not Saturday. I did it this morning. And as I went through this, it was God saying to me, Walter, are you getting this? You've spent the week wallowing in this. Are you getting this now? So I hope this is as good a sermon for you as it was for me writing it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Indeed, I took all this to heart and explained it all. The righteous, the wise, and their works are all in God's hands. People don't know whether to expect love or hate. Everything lies ahead of them. Everything is the same for everyone. There's one fate for the righteous and the wicked, for the good and the bad, for the clean and the unclean, for the one who sacrifices and the one who does not sacrifice. As it is for the good, so it is for the sinner. As for the one who takes an oath, so for the one who fears an oath. This is an evil. In all that is done under the sun, there's one fate for everyone. In addition, the hearts of the people are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. After that, they go to the dead. But there's hope for whoever is joined with all the living, since a live dog is better than a dead lion. Now, the significance of that is the dog was considered to be the lowest of animals, and a lion was the king of animals. But a live dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead don't know anything. There's no longer a reward for them because the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hate, their envy have already disappeared, and there's no longer a portion for them in all that's done under the sun. Go eat your bread with pleasure, and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your clothes be white all the time. Never let oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife you love all the days of your fleeting life, which has been given to you under the sun, all your fleeting days. For that is your portion in life and in your struggle under the sun. Whatever your hands find to do, do with all your strength. Because there's no work, planning, knowledge, or wisdom in Sheol where you're going. Again, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, or the bread to the wise, or riches to the discerning, or favor to the skillful. Rather, time and chance happen to all of them. for man certainly does not know his time. Like fish caught in a cruel net, or like birds caught in a trap, so people are trapped in an evil time as it suddenly falls on them. I have observed that this also is wisdom under the sun, and it's significant to me. There was a small city with a few men in it. A great king came against it and surrounded it and built large seed works against it. Now a poor wise man was found in the city, and he delivered the city by his wisdom. Yet no one remembered that poor man. And I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. The calm words of the wise man are heeded more than the shouts of a ruler over fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner can destroy much good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you that you helped me to understand it. Now help me explain it. Go with us throughout our lives and make us your people. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing to remember in all of this, and you'll see it as we go because I'm going to point it out repeatedly. We're talking about two different sets of worldviews. And in fact, the one still exists. Solomon was talking about the worldview of the Hebrews, the people of God, the people who lived under Judaism, only it wasn't called Judaism then. Judaism comes from Judah because that's where the final group of them were, and when they came back, that's where they came back to. And so the word Jews and Jewish comes, it's based on Judah. But they had a view of what was going to happen in the afterlife. And it's different than we Christians have. So our background, of course, is that this is Solomon. He calls himself the teacher and the son of David. He began well, but ended badly. And Ecclesiastes is his reflections on everything at the end of his life. He's going through, and he's going back, and he's looking at his life, and he's seeing what can be learned from thinking about the way he has lived and the result of it. And this part actually is about how to do it. First of all, we don't know what will happen. You don't know what to expect. Stuff constantly coming up and throwing you a curve. One of the things that I have often said is, don't put too much store in any person, because every person that I have put a lot of store in, with the possible exception of Adrian Rogers, has turned out to be to screw up and let me down. And then again, probably there may be things in his private life that I didn't know about Adrian Rogers, but whatever, you know. That I thought, boy, you know, Oral Roberts was just the guy. Boy, this I loved listening to him on a Saturday morning. This was just, and I really, really was getting close following him. And then all of a sudden, he goes up in his prayer tower and starts saying, if you don't do this, that, and the other thing, the Lord's going to kill me. And I'm thinking, I've known the Lord, lo, these many years, and that does not sound like him. But you don't know what to expect. All of a sudden, life will throw you a curve. Everyone has the same fate. They're going to die. It's better to live than to die, he says. Now, we today look at it in light of Jesus Christ and think there's a better place. Some people are in bad shape, like Larry was. And we say, okay, they're in a better place now. But I've known so many people who've been in such bad shape. And then they didn't want to go. They wanted to stay and witness. I've often told you about my friend Rock, and his last words were, "Oh Lord, just one more, just one more." Because that was Rock. He was living his life for Christ, and when he went out of it, the Lord was probably sitting there waiting for him, and he's probably going, "I could have got one more." And the Lord said, "Don't worry about it. Just take your rest, Rock. You did such a good job, bud." It's better to live than to die, he says, because when you're living, you are enjoying what God has for you. But their philosophy was that when you die, you go to Sheol. And Sheol was not a good place. It was a terrible place. And we have a lot of theology about that. What was the afterlife before Jesus was crucified? We know that there was somewhere that the people who came before Jesus were being held, because it says he went there and he set them free and he took them to heaven. Now, we don't think it's the final heaven. We think it's probably the heaven that is like the holding place until it's all over. But it's way better. Enjoy life as God enables you to do it. Just take what you've got, be satisfied with it, enjoy it, and do the best you can. Do your work the best you can. And then no one knows if wisdom is going to succeed. Wisdom is uncertain. Sometimes we don't have anybody who knows what's up. Sometimes we have people who have knowledge, but they don't have wisdom to use that knowledge. Sometimes we have people who are just wicked. There are certain individuals nowadays who I believe knew what was going on with COVID, were probably involved in it, and worked against it because they thought it would advance them. Wisdom's uncertain, even if you're wise. Wisdom may be overlooked. He speaks of this man who figured out how to defeat the siege of a city. And yet, people just overlooked him. Now, as we read it later, we're not sure whether or not what they're saying is that they just didn't take it to heart and didn't use his wisdom. So they may have lost. Or maybe they did what he said. They used his wisdom. And then they just blew him off after they were done. It's a famous story that's always told about the church that had this wonderful, it was always warm, it was always nice, every winter, everything was great. And then all of a sudden, they come in on a Sunday morning and it's freezing cold. Well, what's up? Well, this guy who worked on the furnace has died. And nobody knows how it works. So we can't get it to heat up. And they ended up having to replace the entire heating system because it was so outdated, but it worked really well. But they had to replace it with modern stuff so that there'd be people who would know how to operate it. And nobody had ever thought much about this guy. And yet, boy, they loved having a warm church every Sunday. Sometimes wisdom is overlooked. Sometimes wisdom can be nullified by folly. In other words, somebody has something that's wise, and he says it, and they disregard it, and they go with something else. When David got into his big fight with his son Absalom, one of his advisors went to advise Absalom. And he gave him really good advice what to do about David. But this guy liked his young buddies more than the old wise warrior. And so he went with what they said, and David got away. If he had taken the advice of the guy's name was Ahithophel, if he'd taken his advice, then it would have all worked out. But it says in the books of Kings that God defeated the wisdom of Ahithophel by having these younger guys say things that Absalom followed. So sometimes wisdom can be nullified by folly. So what does this all mean to us? Much of all this, as I've said, is colored by their vision of the afterlife. It's Vicki.
Hey, I thought I'd show up for cleanup.
Yeah. No, we're not done.
You showed up for the summary.
Since we don't know what's going to happen, we should just do our best. Just try to do what seems to you like it's what God wants. If it's not, then he'll probably tell you, you have to be ready to listen and do it. We look forward to heaven. They saw only shell, so to them, living was far better than dying. I think that somebody like Larry, dying was better than living the way he was. And God just said, okay, that's it, Larry. You've had enough. We should enjoy what God gives us. Now, this does not mean to abuse it. This does not mean to just, you know, waste it. It means to enjoy what God gave us to have. We should work as to the Lord. If you do your job as if you got that job from God and you're going to be rated by God on doing it, and you're doing it for God, you'll do a way better job. Wisdom is good for us, but it may not be properly used. We may not use it properly. And other people may not use wisdom properly. It may help, and then, after it's helped, it may be overlooked. Oh, that wasn't you. That wasn't smart. And yet, it was, and people get irritated. Well, you can't do that. You have to just say, oh, well, they didn't see it. And the next time, maybe I won't be around. And they'll figure out that they should have had somebody who knew what was up. I have had that happen many, many times. As I've said, in IT, for some reason, they love youth. They don't like old guys. The wisdom is that that's stupid. You want the old guy who's already bashed his head against the wall trying to figure something out because he knows what's up. And yet they're saying, no, I don't want an old guy. turns out old guys come in more often than young guys. They have much less outages.
Appreciation of job.
Yep.
Raised in a whole different time.
Yep. It may be undone by folly. Somebody may be doing something that's very wise and that would work really well, and some idiot comes along. Boy, did I see that in the Navy. You know, oh, I'm an officer. I know more than you. Most people who were enlisted in any service I've ever been in understood. No, it's the NCO who knows something. It's not the officer most of the time. Okay? In the Air Force, it was like pilots or it. You know, I defer to pilots at all times because they're going out there and they're going to take that plane and they're going to do something with it that's protecting me. Okay? You keep the bad guys out there, and I'll guard your plane here, okay? Not a problem. But when it comes to making decisions that affect all of us so often, I have seen officers in the Navy usually who were just full of themselves. And so the wisdom of somebody who knows something can be undone by folly. Then again, the folly of the junior officer may be overcome by the captain who knows what's up. I never had a captain on any submarine that didn't know what was up. He wouldn't have got to be captain other than that. In the end, we just do our best to do God's will. Lord, what do you want? Experiencing God says, find out what God is doing and go join Him. Because if God's doing it, then it's by definition right. We go and help Him, then we're doing what God wants. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We thank you for this book that we can study. And I really thank you for straightening out my mind as I set this all up. Help us to be good servants. Help us to go out and serve you and to show people what Jesus looks like. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.